Please take your Bibles and turn with me first to the New Testament, Gospel account of Luke, chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, page 1090, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Luke, chapter 2. We'll read the first seven verses and we'll turn to the first book of the Bible, Genesis. It's from there our text is taken this evening. First Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. People of God, hear now the very words of God. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. Let us turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. It's on page 2. We'll begin reading at verse 26. We'll read through verse 7 of chapter 2. Genesis 1, this occurs on day 6 of the creation week. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them, and God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, when no bush of the field was yet in the land, and no small plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the land, and there was no man to work the ground. And a mist was going up from the land and was watering the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. As far the reading, God's holy word. The congregation, for the four Sundays leading up to Christmas Day, we often have an Advent series. And we use this series to bring out a particular passage, to exposit a particular passage, as we trace a theme throughout the Bible, finding its fulfillment in Christ. This year, Lord willing, we'll trace the theme of the image of God. Now, one theologian remarked that all of someone's theology is an outworking of what they think of the image of God. It's that important. One could say we understand the image of God even spins into what we understand humanity to be. What it means to be human. As far as we know, humans are the only thing that God created in His image. Even angels were not created in God's image, at least not according to what's been revealed to us in the Bible there. As you read through the Bible in this coming year, take note of how often you read about the image, the likeness. You'll find it throughout the Old Testament and New Testament. You'll find it in the Catechism. The image of God. And young people, as you ponder life's questions, this is one of them. Who are you? What's your identity? The world says you can choose it. No matter how absurd the result might be. No, God made you. God made you in His image. And so who are you? Various good biblical answers can be given to that question. One answer is that you're human. Is that you're made in the image of God. That's what I proclaim to you this evening from God's Word. God made man in His image. Well, what does that mean? Well, many things, but first, it means that we have being. We have being. Just look there at our text, verses 26 and 27. God said, let us make man. And then 27, so God created man. This is not just an imagination, not just a thought, not just a virtual reality. It's real. Chapter 2, verse 7. The Lord God formed the man. This kind of zeroes in, focuses more on that event of creation. The Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. That kind of explains somewhat what it means to be made in the image of God. We're living. We're living creatures. We are composed of a soul part and a body part. But notice from our text, when God said, let's make man in our image, after our likeness. And then chapter 2, verse 7, where He says the man became a living creature. That even though the Bible elsewhere speaks of soul and body, they're so closely united in man at the beginning that we as a whole are referred to as the image of God. Not only the soul, that's the image of God. Not only the body, that's the image of God. Let us make man in our image. And he was a living creature. God formed man. Not merely the body of man, formed the man of dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living creature. One act, this being the image of God, one act of creation here. God making a living creature, forming and breathing. That's who we are. Even at death. Now we didn't read it, but there in chapter 3, verse 19. God said to Adam, by the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken. For you are dust. And to dust you shall return. God didn't say there that Adam's body was dust, but that he was dust. And to dust he would return. Of course, we know, and we've seen this in the previous months, haven't we, that at death a human soul either goes to heaven or to hell, while his or her body goes into the ground and becomes dust again. But the point is, God created Adam as someone who is body soul, that's part of this image of God. Some theologians speak of us as embodied soul to try to get across the complexity of how God made us. You can't simply cut us apart. And so when we deal with us in this life, we're dealing with persons, humans, your body and soul. The body and soul interact. That's who we are. The body is not a mere husk, while our soul is who I really am. No, God created us as a whole in His image. There's no differentiation there in verse 26 and 27. He created us as a unit. You wouldn't be you with a different body. You would be a different you. Even you, as you would be a different you if your soul was different. It takes death to tear apart the two. But even still, God will resurrect the body and reunite it with the soul. We shouldn't try to do what death does. We should live and relate as God made us to be. This is part of our being, part of being in the image of God. Now on the flip side, the disbelieving researcher or scientist who thinks they can describe human reality according to only the body, they err greatly. And they are to humbly acknowledge that there is more to human than there is to a dog, than a monkey. There's much that's similar. We can plainly see that. We all have the same creator, and all living creatures are made of the stuff of this earth, of the dust. But there is a gulf that millions of years and chance mutations can't bridge. It was how God created you in His image. Humans alone, nothing else. We read that there, verse 26, 27. Humans are complicated creatures. There's no other creature like us. The Bible in Genesis 1 speaks of fish and land animals as living creatures. And in chapter 2, verse 7, it uses the same wording there, living creature, in creating man. But nowhere else does God say that those living creatures are made in His image. That's unique, verses 26 and 27. And it's not just males that are in God's image. For while chapter 2 begins with a more focused view in verse 7 there on Adam, on the first man, and then later has his wife, God creating the wife. Chapter 1, verse 27 says, "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God He created him. Male and female He created them." And of course, in our society, given currents there, we need to make clear that God created humans male and female. You're one or the other. There's no third option. There's no mixing. It's a binary situation. That is, it's one or the other. It's like a light switch. It's on or off. There's no dimmer switch. Now we know because of the fall, things aren't always the way that they should be, and there's brokenness. We acknowledge that. But it's clear, male and female. And related to that is that God made humans, male and female. Adam didn't make himself. And Adam wasn't just a blob who then self-identified as male, and that's what matters. No, creation is from God, and God said, so God created. Now, it's true that later in chapter 2, when God presented Eve to Adam, Adam named her, but naming something, calling it what it is completely different than making something. And we clearly read, male and female, He created them. We are to recognize what God made and not think that we ourselves are God. We are in the image of God. We are not God. It's a fallen, it's a perverse society that seeks to blur or undo the distinctives and distinctions God created. Now, obviously, man can't get rid of even male and female. But that hasn't stopped humans, even governments, to try to put themselves in the place of God. Olivia and Isaac, you've taken a stand this evening, publicly, before God, before His people, and before the watching world, that you believe what God has revealed in the Bible, that it's true, that you seek your identity in Christ according to God's Word. This is who you are. He created you male. He created you female. He created you in His image. Hold fast to that. Amidst the many temptations, trials, maybe even persecutions that you will face, by God's grace, hold fast. God created them in His image, male and female. And that will continue on into eternity. Now, marriage will not last into the next realm, but what we were created to be will last. And we know from chapter 2 that marriage is not part of creation, but of providence. Marriage is not essential to being in God's image. That is, one doesn't have to be married to be in the image of God. The first marriage was done as an act of providence, not an act of creation. We often call marriage a creation ordinance because it's what God instituted in the beginning, moments after they were created, in the week of creation. But It's not something inherent to who we are as humans. The single person, child or adult, is just as much the image of God as the married person. And so who are you? Who are you as human? You're someone who exists, who was created, who has been. You are a living creature. Your body, soul, you're male or you're female. And being made in the image of God points to something else with our being, that we have God as our reference. We're the image of God, not the image of something else. We have God as our reference. Yes, man was formed from the dust of the ground, but he was created in the image of God. And in sin, man turns his back on God. And then what's the alternative? Not upward toward God, but downward to dust, downward to shame, downward to animals. No wonder the scripture says the fool says in his heart, there is no God. The fool turns away from that which gives us dignity from God and thus being made in the image of God. The fool turns only to dust. We were created in the image of God with him as our referent. And that points that there's something more than where Adam was created. There's a natural as Adam was created, but being in the image of God, we mentioned this before in the Reformed tradition, tying into Scripture, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45, there must also be a spiritual. We aren't talking about body, soul there, but like the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, that there's a natural body, there is a spiritual body. And it's similar to what Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, God has put eternity into man's heart. Created on the sixth day, yes, a real day, historical day. But he's put eternity into our hearts. God made us for more. Now, in this Advent series, we'll come from this being created in God's image to, Lord willing, next week, a broken image because of sin. Where we should have advanced, Adam rebelled and was cast into darkness, into guilt, into God's wrath. That's coming. But here, God created us. He created you human. And a human story is what we find in the Christmas story. Oh, miracles, certainly. The Son of God took upon himself, though, a human nature, body and soul, to redeem us, body and soul. We read there in Luke 2, he didn't come as the first man was created out of the dust of the earth. He was born. In the natural course of events, being supernaturally conceived, of course, but the pregnancy was natural. Everything else completely human. Christ was made human. In that sense, too, in the image of God. He had being. Being. But there's more to being human, more to being the image of God. We move to in our second point, there's also life. There's love, life and love. To be human is to have life, to be living. To be human is to love. We saw in previous point, Genesis 2:7 speaks, the first man became a living creature. But life is more than breathing. To be human, to be in the image of God, is more than just moving around. It's living in relationships. It's to love and be loved. They're connected. Jesus said in John 17 that eternal life is knowing God and His Son whom He sent. Life is not just eating and drinking, doing. We see someone, a human, who does mainly, perhaps it seems, only these things. And it's tragic, isn't it? It's tragic to see a recluse, to see a hermit. Selfishness is about turning in on ourselves. And something strikes us, yes, as wrong, but also it's not human to do that. And in the beginning, God did not create man to be alone. We didn't read it, but again, many of us are familiar with it. We saw it some months ago, chapter 2. After God made man, and man named the animals, and found there was not one among them that was a helper suitable for him. God said before sin, it was not good that man should be alone, and therefore he made a helper for man. God made Eve, Adam's wife. But even in Genesis 1, our text there, we read that God made man in his own image, in his likeness, and it says, male and female, He created them. Male and female. He created them. Built for relationship. It's how God made us. It's part of the image of God there. God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. It's right there in the same verse. It's relational, being in the image of God. Now, we know from Scripture that God is relational. One God, but three persons in that one God. Three persons in the one divine nature. That's a great mystery. It's the doctrine of the Trinity. God Himself relates. From eternity to eternity, it's part of His nature. It's who He is, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three persons relating with each other in perfect harmony, perfect union, distinct persons, but one God, perfectly joined, yet distinct. A relationship can't get any more intimate than that. And it's in the image of God, the triune God. In fact, even there in verse 26, now, is this a proof for the Trinity? Well, we certainly see it here. God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. He's probably not talking to the angels, some heavenly council. This probably has a hint there of the Trinity. And out of that comes the image of God. Male and female, He created them. Now, we said earlier that marriage is part of providence, not creation. But the capacity, the yearning, the need for relating is part of our makeup, our being human. I correspond with a prisoner, still back from Wisconsin days. Before God changed the heart of this prisoner and brought him to faith, this prisoner, he would act in bad ways. Right? And well, when you're in prison and you act wrongly, you break the rules, what happens? Well, for him, he was locked up in solitary confinement. That is, he had no interaction with other humans. Food was slipped through him through the door. No interaction. And it would be that way for days. And he would tell me that was the worst punishment he ever had. Solitary confinement. And no wonder, because God made humans with the need to relate. Now, we're all different. Some have more, and some have less. But there is that need to relate. And God instituted marriage as the greatest expression in this life of that part of human nature. Male friendships can be nice. It's good to foster good male friendships. Female relationships and friendships, those can be nice. It's good to foster those relationships. But relationship is best expressed in a marriage relationship when one woman, one man, for life in this age of the world. In the coming age, there's no more marriage. But there certainly still will be relating. And this teaching comes to us throughout the Scriptures. But again, perhaps one of the clearest is that believers are part of the household of God, the household of faith, brothers and sisters. There's that relating. That bond is eternal. So young adults, seek a marriage partner. Seek someone like-minded, sharing the same faith. Even apart from marriage, be someone who relates with others. Don't stay off by yourself. Don't pursue your own way. Don't get so wrapped up in work that you don't have time to relate with. Don't be so wrapped up in leisure pursuits, in whatever it may be. Relate with others. Get involved in other people's lives. That's what God made us for. It's the defectiveness of sin that seeks to break down marriage, family, whether that be through pornography, through slavery, through government dependence, through self-indulgence, through something else. Be aware of those ploys, those deceptions of the devil that try to break down godly relating, good relating. That's not where life is found, focusing in on self. But even more, as we mentioned at the beginning of this point, Jesus said, this is life, to know God and His Son whom He sent. That's key to the image of God in which God created man, relating rightly with God. We read there that God saw all that He had made. Behold, it was very good. We know God walked with Adam and Eve before sin in the cool of the day. There was that relating. Part of that image is righteousness, is holiness. We were created to love our Creator in His image, friendly in His image, heartily serve Him, live with Him in eternal blessedness to His praise and glory. That's what it means to be human. Now we live in a fallen world, but there's still remnants of that. Now think of popular stories. There's often a nod toward virtue, that heroism is found in virtue and self-sacrifice, that vice is often self-focused, it's what makes up the villain. The villain is often twisted in some aspect of humanity. Even fallen man recognizes that. And that aspect of being in the image of God, that relating, that living, that loving, it points that Adam was capable of more. And we know that. The image of God in which Adam was made brings before us that Eden was not the final point of man. He was to subdue. He was to be fruitful and multiply. He was to fill the earth, wasn't he? So Adam was human, created in righteousness and holiness, God's Son. But it was through testing he would advance. Adam's love for God was to shine out and increase as Adam would listen to God and obey God and not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. As Adam guarded Eve and all creation from enemies that would seek to deceive and corrupt, Adam was to live with God. And that's the highest form of our relating, our loving, our living. It's what it means to be human, being made in God's image. What a blessing for us, Isaac and Olivia, to have heard you profess your faith publicly, that you are walking with God, that you have a personal relationship with Him, and you desire to deepen it. Do that. Deepen it by coming continually to worship. Do it by reading the Bible, praying in your own lives. Do it by singing, by encouraging others. Grow in your relationship with Him. We see this aspect of being human, of being in the image of God, relating with God. We see it in the Christmas story. Because the Son of God, He did not just come to earth alone as a solitary person. He was born with an adopted earthly father and a mother. Later we know He had brothers and sisters. He called to Himself 12 disciples and had many other followers beside. Jesus sends His Spirit, what? To live within us. We have His Word, the Bible. He communes with us. He relates with us. Jesus was not married, and so we have even further proof that to be human, to be in the image of God, does not mean one has to be married. Jesus related, and He relates yet today. The gospel accounts are filled with Christ relating with others. You can't imagine Jesus as a recluse. But along with that, at the heart of it, is that Christ perfectly related to His Heavenly Father. Jesus never had one bit of sin. His knowledge of God, His love for God were undimmed, shining brightly, perfect. And being perfect, Jesus offered Himself as a sacrifice for our sins. For us who are far from perfect, who are great sinners. He suffered and died, and then the third day He rose again from the dead, bringing eternal life. And with offering Himself as our sacrifice, by His death, by His resurrection, Jesus satisfied God's justice against our sin. He cared for us. He reconciled us to God. That relationship He restored. He obtained for us and restored to us righteousness and life to be again in the image of God, to relate with God, to love God. And that's for all who believe in Jesus. So we have life once again. Not just this earthly life, but eternal life. That which Adam was made capable of, Jesus has brought to pass by His life, His death, His resurrection. Now, those who do not believe in Jesus are under God's wrath because of their sin. And as long as they do not repent, the anger of God and eternal condemnation rest on them. And so that call goes forth, repent and believe. Be reconciled to God. Have righteousness and eternal life restored. Be reconciled to the God who made you. Who made you in His image. God restores humanity in Christ by His Spirit through faith. That life, that love. That second aspect we look at. There's one other aspect we move to this evening about the image of God, and that is about dominion. About dominion. And that stands out clearly in Genesis 1. What did we read in verse 26? Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And then verse 28, God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion." Again, He repeats that. And so part of what we should think about with the image of God is that man is created to exercise dominion over all creation as a steward of God. Again, His image, His likeness. God made man His ruler on earth. Not so that man would rule to please himself, but would rule to image God, to glorify God, to reflect God. And think of God's rule. Children, God rules over all. It's kind of nice to have this right after Thanksgiving Day. Just think about His rule. Is God selfish? Is God mean? Is He harsh? Of course not. Now, certainly God opposes sin. He is angry with the sinners. But not creation as He created it. Simply look around at this world. And even though it's fallen, we saw recently how good God is. How kind. Pours out good gifts upon us. In abundance He does us, and He promotes order in His world. And so to be human, part of that is to exercise dominion. It doesn't mean we grab what we can from the earth or from animals, certainly not from other persons. That's a twisted dominion. It means we're good stewards. Again, we saw that some weeks ago, didn't we? And think of two types of farmers. One who does nothing to his land in terms of crop rotation, fertilizer, land management, versus another farmer who's aware of the stresses on the soil, erosion. Consider one person who abuses his pets. It's even against the law in our land. Well, another one treats them kindly. In fact, God even had a proverb, Proverbs 12, verse 10, "Whoever is righteous has regard for the life of his beast." So one who is a good steward, that's humane. Even in that word humane, it's what a human is to be. And that shows up in other realms, managing resources, mining, science, technology. We don't worship the earth. We don't endorse government overreach. But we are to be good stewards of the world around us. Not to overreact to what problems may be out there in either direction. But this is what God made us to be as part of making us in His image. Is to exercise dominion. And that points to a dominion over all the cosmos. Man was the crown of God's creation. Not just earth, but all God's creation. We don't know now what exactly that looks like. But as we extend out in generations, we should be aware of it. We should be guided by this theology in creation. And with all this dominion, God has in mind what theologians call shalom. That's just a Hebrew way of saying peace. It gets at wholeness. It gets at harmony. Now, don't read into that some New Age nonsense. But see it through the eyes of Scripture. The lion lying down with the lamb, peace among neighbors, good order, care, fruitfulness with crops. The Garden of Eden was a paradise. And Adam was responsible to extend that, to guard it, to keep it. God gives that direction again later in chapter 2. Part of being in the image of God meant that man was to protect the creation, especially his family, from spiritual harm. The devil was abroad. The devil goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Adam was to resist the devil, to guard the garden, to expel the invader. And that's part of what it means to be human, this dominion, to guard and defend, cowardice, shirking one's duty. It's not only wrong, but when we see that, again, in a person in life or a character in a novel, it strikes us as not human. Not human. So this forms part of what it is to be in the image of God. Now, because of Adam's sin, he lost much of what it meant to be human in terms of the image of God. And it would take God the Son to come to earth, to take upon Himself our human nature, to become the Son of Man, and in that nature to fulfill all righteousness, to cast out the devil. He did that not only with the three temptations that He did, but especially on the cross, obeying God even unto the accursed death of the cross. The image of God that God originally had for man has been fulfilled and perfected in Christ. And we'll come to that, Lord willing, more in our gospel series. And so Jesus will bring it back. This ultimate shalom, this lion laying down with the lamb. We are to be good stewards, but we can't come to that yet. We need Christ to come and bring it fully. But the aspect of dominion still abides, even with the fall. And this gospel is for humans, for those who are made in the image of God, to be restored to the image of God in Christ. Even what we read, Luke 2, part of the Christmas story. Again, it's a very human story. The emperor makes a decree about taxes. That's human. A man and his wife traveled together to a hometown. That's human. She was expecting a child. That's human. The child is born and cared for, loved. That's human. This is all human. Now again, there's much miracle in the Christmas story and with the gospel in all its parts. After all, here was the Son of God come to earth, come to rescue sinners from our guilt, from death. But it all happens in a very human way. To humans, with humans. It involves us as humans, for us, humans who were made in the image of God. God made man in His image. And God sent His Son to restore the image of God to humans, to all who believe in Jesus, to trust Him. So in this Advent series, congregation, in this Advent season, don't be distracted by things, not even by sentimentality. Keep focused on what this season is all about, what history is all about, the coming of the Son of God into our world to glorify God by rescuing humans. Humans made in His image, humans remade in His image. And so by God's grace, strive to be what God created you to be, His image, His likeness. And may God receive all the praise. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how wonderful You created us. We marvel at just the sliver You've revealed in Your Word as we reflect on the brokenness around us and think how wonderful before sin, how wonderful when Jesus comes again, and yet how wonderful now that we are still in Your image. We are being restored as Your people in Your image. Thank You, Lord. And so may we live that way. Remember who You have made us to be, that we may not listen to the deceptions of the devil or the world around us or even our own sinful flesh, to not chase after things that are less than human, but seek from You what You made us to be and remaking us to be. And may You receive all the praise in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.